He is immortal. Born in the Highlands of Scotland 400 years ago, he is not alone. There are others like him. Some good, some evil. For centuries, he has battled the forces of darkness, with holy ground his only refuge. He cannot die unless you take his head and with it his power. In the end, there can be only one. He is Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander.
Welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, Season 2, Episode 8, Revenge of the Sword. And to talk to you about it, I am your host, Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis, and my co-host with me, as always, is Audie. Audie, how you doing this week?
Doing all right.
Good.
Can't complain too much.
Yeah, so this is another episode without an immortal.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but we have two returning bits in this episode from the previous episode. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I also did find a Watcher Chronicle.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I think we should listen to that.
Sure.
All right. Here we go. Here's the Watcher Chronicle for Revenge of the Sword.
November 20th, 1993. Duncan MacLeod is allowing the use of his dojo for a film production starring a young martial artist named Jimmy Sang. Film's called Revenge of the Sword, and Sang also wrote the script. During filming, a stuntman was poisoned. Later that day, MacLeod and Charlie DeSalvo stopped an attempted drive-by shooting of the young man as he gave a martial arts demonstration in the park. November 21st, 1993, followed MacLeod to the local Buddhist temple. He spent quite a lot of time there with a monk by the name of Lao. Don't believe Lao to be an immortal or to know of MacLeod's immortality. After leaving the temple, MacLeod headed towards the Golden Dove Funeral Home, known to be a base of operations for Johnny Leong and the Tong. Seems young Mr. Sang is in a bit over his head.
So we start the episode off, Charlie's leaving the dojo at night, right? He gets off the phone, he's walking out, and then the power goes out.
Ooh.
And two guys in black ninja costume tell him they're here for their money. And Charlie ain't having none of that. He refuses to pay him. And they start fighting. And he's holding his own. He's doing a pretty good job of it. Until one of them pulls out a knife and throws it at him and gets him right in the heart.
Yeah.
I know. And down goes Charlie. Somebody not Duncan shows up at the front door of the dojo looking like Robin Shao in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And he takes out the two ninjas and goes over to Charlie to check on him. And then we hear the director yell cut. And it's a movie within the show. They're filming a movie at the dojo.
Such a great cold open.
It is. It's actually a pretty fun cold open. I've seen the episode, so I knew what was coming. But it as a cold open, it's pretty well done.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that we have no idea who this dude is, and it's just it's not Duncan. But you know, it's a fun cold open. They're shooting a movie at the dojo. MacLeod is allowing them to shoot there for free because the star of the movie is an old friend of Charlie's.
Right.
And so not Robin Shao is actually Jimmy Sang or Song, I guess, is actually how they're pronouncing it in the episode. He is a former student of Charlie's, played by Dustin Nguyen, the first of our returns from the episode The Road Not Taken in Season 1. So, yeah, Jimmy's kind of a diva. He's a hothead. Thinks he's real hot stuff and kind of butts heads with Duncan a little bit, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's some posturing going on there. Meanwhile, as the scene plays out, one of the stuntmen hasn't gotten up yet. And it turns out he's dead. He was poisoned.
Oh.
He was poisoned with the ginseng tea that Jimmy was actually barking about. Somebody was supposed to bring him on set, you know, doing the whole diva actor thing. So, he was poisoned, and when Charlie and Duncan tell him about it and are like, hey, dude, you need to be careful, like, somebody that was probably meant for you, he gets all indignant, and he storms off, and he's, you know, he can't believe anyone would want to hurt him. He's not very likable at the start of this episode, I will say that.
Not really.
The movie's producer shows up to Duncan's apartment unannounced and starts yelling at him about trying to stop the movie. Right. She seems very determined to get the movie made. But we end up with Duncan and Charlie trying to kind of keep an eye on Jimmy while he's doing a demonstration in the park. And somebody tries to shoot Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
A little drive-by shooting, which, of course, leads to a flashback. Duncan remembers a time when that happened to a friend of his. We had two very short flashbacks in this we'll talk about.
Right.
But Duncan ends up going to the Buddhist temple to talk to Grandfather Lao, and that's the second of our returns from The Road Not Taken, which is the exact same set.
Right. The
location was used for the Buddhist temple. Only this time, no mention whatsoever of the dude that was there before.
Yeah.
It's a completely different person. I actually really liked the whole bit with Duncan and Grandfather Lao.
Yeah.
It was like, I would watch a series that was just Duncan like solving mysteries and then talking to Grandfather Lao. Because it was mm-hmm. just, he was the guy, Mina E. Mina, that was playing him, is just this adorable little old man. And they had a real fun chemistry about them. I enjoyed it. My favorite part of the episode was anything that had him in it. So it was cool, and Duncan finds out that the leader of the Tongs, the Tong, not Tongs, the Tong, Johnny Leung, is after Jimmy. Basically, the movie that Jimmy is making, he also, I guess, wrote, and the story deals with the Tong, who apparently nobody actually thinks is a real gang. I that part was a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was for you or not, like... I felt like that could have been fleshed out better.
A little bit.
But they apparently are not happy about Jimmy making a movie with stories of what they did. He was part of the gang at one point, and they're trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And long story short, eventually Grandfather Lao gets shot in the crossfire. That scene, by the way, was pretty rough just because dude started shooting into a crowd of kids in broad daylight. Like, this one didn't pull punches at all. But Grandfather Lao gets shot and he dies,
right?
Which was foreshadowed. We'll talk about a little bit. And then long story short, Duncan ends up saving Jimmy from the Tong and convinces him not to kill Johnny. And that's the end of the episode. He sort of gets a little redemption arc. We'll go into a little more detail on it. It's good, not great. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But it did give us a couple of good special guests, so I guess we could talk about that.
Mm-hmm. But knowing what you do know allows you to answer the questions to what you do not know.
That's not in the teachings.
No. I made it up.
So special guest-wise, we had a couple, but let's start with Dustin Nguyen as Jimmy Zhang. Jimmy Song. So, all right. So the character is portrayed, especially early on, this kind of arrogant, hot-headed. I'm just gonna say he's a dick in the beginning of the episode. He's just he's mean to people. He's mean to Charlie. Not likable at all.
Right.
But it was cool seeing Dustin Nguyen come back because we saw him in The Road Not Taken playing. I would say The Road Not Taken, he was underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
And this was better. I still think they could have done better with him. Like, I think he has more charisma and he has more skill acting even than we saw in this episode. But this was leaps and bounds better than his first go around.
Right. For sure. Although I wonder how much of that hair was actually his. Like,
curious about that.
Above and beyond to make sure we knew that this was a different character than before. And he had a lot of hair in this episode.
Yeah. It's hard for me to believe that his hair grew that much in a year. Cause he had he had it all slicked down, but it wasn't nearly like this was full on. I mean, when I said Robin Shao in Mortal Kombat, I'm not kidding. Like it was that kind of hyper mullet.
Yeah. It was far more than that too. So I think half of that was not his.
But, you know, what I did like was they took the character, they let him have the redemption arc, right? So he, by the end of the episode, he's better. I just think maybe they let it burn a little too long with him being kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
there is a moment where him and Charlie are talking, and you can see that they want to start planting the seed that no, he's actually mm-hmm. not that bad a kid. He's just still a kid. He's young and arrogant, right? But they just needed to kind of push that a little bit further or a little quicker. I think they just let the overly arrogant part overshadow the redemptive parts of him. So he was so unlikable to start that they needed to start making him likable quicker, I feel.
Right. Yeah, and I think they pushed the immaturity of him as a character when they didn't need to. Like, there's mm-hmm. a couple times where he smacks himself in the head like a teenager. I'm like, is he supposed to be a teenager, or is he supposed to be a grown man who's just, you know,
yeah,
gotten to the point where he's used to getting his way? You don't have to necessarily act like a complete 13-year-old to be somebody who is a diva of sorts,
yeah,
like you said earlier.
No, I'm totally with you on that. Like, that was, again, I think if you play him a little more subtle and start mm-hmm. his transfer, like, make him likable to begin with, but just kind of like, he's a jerk, but you can see he's not a terrible person.
Right.
And then he can slowly kind of lose that air of the arrogance. I think he just started off a little too much in one direction. And in a 45-minute episode, it's just not enough time to fully realize that arc.
You know? Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, Dustin Nguyen, he's still good. And he gets the big fight scene with Duncan. Since we're not going to have an immortal, they get to tussle.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fun.
That was very fun.
Mm-hmm. Robert Ito is Johnny Leong, who is the leader of the Tongs. And he's the big bad of the episode. He's very theatrical. He's got a lot of bravado about him. He wants Jimmy basically because reasons. We're never given a full-on reason. It's just his movie exposes the Tong.
Yeah.
So it's a little thin, but mm-hmm. you can tell he's having fun. He's just chewing the scenery.
Yeah, he was, especially with Duncan. Good Lord, that scene.
Oh, that was great. That had to have been a fun scene for them to shoot, because it's just chest puffing in every way. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Because
mm-hmm. Again, arrogant Duncan, right? Playful, arrogant Duncan. I like him. He's fun to watch. So that was cool. And then Mina E. Mina is Grandfather Lau. I loved him. I want more. I wanted more of him. I was sad with him passing, you know, his character dying. And, you know, they foreshadow it. As Duncan is leaving the mm-hmm. temple,
right? You
know, he looks at him and he just tells him, I feel like this is the last time we're going to have one of our walks. And sure enough, you know, he gets shot later in the episode. Mm-hmm. But he was fun. I love those kind of older and very soft spoken too. But then he's got like he's able to do that kind of playful glint when he says something like the walk and talk that they do is so good, because it's just Duncan, well, you know, when you don't know something, it's an opportunity to learn about it. Yes, but when do know something, then you know what you don't know. Right, but and they keep going back and forth, and then finally Duncan's like, wait a minute, that's not in the teachings. Oh, I know. I made that one up. He just winks at him.
Or just the start of it, when Duncan's walking up, and he's like, I knew you would come. And he's like, really? He's like, yeah, I saw you walking up over there. It's my car. It's like, I love when they do that trope of the mystic person who's not really mystic. He's just a smart aleck.
Yes.
You know,
that is
a lot of times that's all it is.
Yes, that is a fun trope. And I have no problem with that one. So, yeah, I mean, overall, good performances. I think the character of Jimmy could have been written a little bit better to mm-hmm. give Dustin Nguyen, because I don't think it's his performance. Like, he's good at, because he's good at the arrogant part. And then you see him at the end when he's in the garden talking with Duncan. And questioning, like, do you believe in the reincarnation stuff? Do you, you know, all of this? Like, he's believable as the good kid that's just trying to find his mm-hmm. way. So it's definitely not his fault at all. I just think maybe the writing could have gone a little bit quicker. Just give him redemption a little faster.
Yeah, this is one of those episodes where an actor like Dustin Nguyen definitely elevates what is written on the page.
Oh, for sure.
And you're like, we want more of that because he's so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
If it was someone else that wasn't as well known, wasn't as good as Dustin Nguyen, I think we would have just kind of like, he was okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, very much.
Was he involved in the town?
That is something you will have to ask him.
He won't tell me.
Then neither will I.
Flashbacks this week. We have technically two, but it's like one and a half. So the first one we get when Charlie is talking to Duncan and about Jimmy, and he's like, look, he's a good kid. His dad kicked him out at 16, and then Duncan has this flash of remembering his father kicking him out, right?
Right.
And
which we've seen before.
You know, maybe a little forced, but at the same time, you got to have some kind of a connection. And I can totally see Duncan honestly having that kind of a connection with that. So, but we get this, the flashback to the season one bit where his dad comes out and they find him outside the village and tells him that he was adopted, essentially.
Right.
Is what it is. But it's literally the flashback from season one. They didn't redo, they just reused the footage. They maybe threw another filter on it, I think.
Yeah, I think they threw on a more sepia tone, little brownish like tone filter on it. Just differentiate it.
Yep. Nothing special there. Just add a little bit of runtime and again, give that connection between Duncan and kind of what's going on currently. The other flashback is a little bit longer, and it is early 1900s, kind of Little Italy. Again, we're in that same time period where they bought all their costumes and everything. And Duncan meets up with his friend Giuseppe. And Giuseppe's shop has been vandalized by the Black Hand, and it's the mob, and they're looking for their protection money. And again, you know, the mob, the tong, blah, blah, blah. We're getting the allusions and the connections there. But one thing I did want to talk about with that flashback was, one, Adrian Paul's Italian sounded really good. I don't know how accurate it is, but it sounded good. So I liked that. The back and forth between him and Giuseppe was pretty fun. That actor for, you know, probably the one day of work that he was doing had really good chemistry with Adrian Paul. So that was cool to see.
Yeah. That was good.
And then they had an early 1900s version of a drive-by shooting on a horse and horse and carriage, which I'm not going to lie, made me chuckle when those guys started standing up for him. I'm like, they're going to do a horse by. But was it me, or did the one dude with the shotgun look like Michael Wincott? And if you don't know that name, think of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Guy of Gisborne. Or
he did a little bit.
He really reminded me of him to the point where I was checking to see, but he was a well known enough actor at the time, Wincott was, that it wouldn't have been him. But the guy certainly did look like him.
He did a little bit.
Yeah. They also, I was surprised at the level of squib that they used for that moment where Giuseppe gets shot by the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in slow motion and it's a pretty good sized squib right in the middle of his chest that you see go. And like, for cable television in the 90s, that surprised me a little bit. I don't remember a lot of stuff being quite that visceral, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised given that we've seen them drop bodies and off of buildings more than once in this series. And you get to watch the dummy go all the way down to the ground and make impact.
True.
But you know,
also, random thing, just found out. Adrian Paul's mother is Italian, so he gets that honest.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But they were good. It's a good little flashback. It serves the purpose of what the flashbacks do, which is tie the current situation into something that Duncan has experienced before.
Right.
And get a little period piece work out of it. Not the best flashback we've ever had, but also nowhere near the worst. Like, it's a good, solid one.
For sure.
And it looked also a little bit better than some of the others that we've seen.
It was a tight one because there wasn't much to it. There wasn't much of a set. They were just outside in this spot. There wasn't a whole lot going on, going back and forth. So I think that helped him. One other little production thing I noticed, because we always talk about Adrian Paul's hair, is I did notice the way it was kind of curled up in the back.
Yeah.
And strategically, so that it was on the side away from the camera. I noticed it just enough to, I was like, okay, didn't hide it this time.
No.
They're doing something weird with his hair and figured out a way to cut it to where when the ponytail's tied around somewhere, that he's got other parts of the hair coming down looking like he's just got the short hair. Like,
Yeah,
somebody is doing something really well with that. Like, that's impressive.
It really is. A little dark magic going on there.
Of all the things to be impressive with this show, be impressed with the way they handled his hair is funny. Yeah.
I love that. Good flashbacks again.
But this man's mistake was to go against me. A closed casket will be necessary in his case, and possibly in yours, Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
No Richie this week in this episode, or Joe Dawson. Neither one of them show up. Richie's just not there for reasons. He's not even mentioned, which is a little surprising, but it happens. But we did get Charlie has a bigger role, right? Because Jimmy, and that's why.
Sure.
Right? That's why there's no Richie, because this is a Charlie episode. Charlie's got a history with Jimmy.
Right.
He trained him. He knows where the kid grew up. And it's pretty standard Charlie stuff in that he has, because Charlie has the chip on his shoulder, because he grew up in the streets the way that he did, he wants to give Jimmy a lot more kind of leeway, especially early on in the episode. Yeah. He's really trying to. I do wish we had seen more resolution between the two of them, because by the middle of the episode, Charlie is like, this kid is just an idiot. And like, you're getting that sense from him, even though he then still wants to help. But we didn't get a payoff of Charlie and Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where Charlie is the person who doesn't see what everybody else sees in this character. Like, everybody else sees what a jerk he is. Charlie doesn't see it because he's blinded by his friendship, love of helping raising the kid.
Yeah.
But he obviously hasn't seen him for a while. And then, you know, everybody else is seeing him being this jerk. And then eventually he sees it. He's like, okay, he's a jerk. I'm sorry I missed it. But again, like you said, there's not a resolution where I think there should have been. Like, maybe at least have Duncan and Charlie there at the end in the garden or something.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because really after the fight between Duncan and Jimmy, Charlie's out of the episode. He shows up right after that to say, hey, Jimmy took off, and that's it. And then we don't see Charlie again, which is a bit of a bummer, given that, you know, Jimmy goes back to the temple. He talks to Grandfather Lau, the whole thing with Lau getting shot, and then the rest of the episode. And yeah, you're right. They should have had Charlie at the end of it. And that would have at least been able to wrap up that, because that's really the more important relationship, more so than Duncan and him.
Who
do get a nice moment at the end. So,
right. But we've seen episodes where it doesn't focus on Duncan. It doesn't end with his resolution. So,
right. Yeah, and we'll see that more, I think, as the show goes on. But for whatever reason, in this episode, they didn't go that route. And we did talk a little bit about the fight between Duncan and Jimmy already, but it was a good one. What I like is you get to see, it's always great to have skilled people in the fights. It's not like watching the first season episode with DeLuise, where you can tell he's just not at the level of Adrian Paul.
Right.
This is a couple of really skilled guys. And I like seeing Adrian Paul work with different weapons too. So this time around, he doesn't grab the two-handed katana. He's got two short swords. He's using two of them at once. So it gives a nice variety and a little different storytelling to the fight, which is always good.
Right. And again, just showing how dangerous he is, like just being able to pick up whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, with it. And the couple times where he, like, you thought he was hitting Jimmy, and he's like, nope, a couple inches I would have hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm that good.
And once again, playful Duncan. Even when he's angry, mm-hmm. like he was in that scene, he's still kind of toying with him. And
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there was a couple of different choreographed fights in this, right? Because there's the one at the beginning with the ninjas, which actually was pretty good. Charlie gets to show off a little bit, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Because most of what we've seen of Charlie is him flipping onto his back on the mats
mm-hmm.
for the most
which
part.
Which we did get that as well.
Yes, that's true. and then there was the fight at the end at the funeral home near the crematorium where... And one of those henchmen, I know I've seen before, but I couldn't figure out what his name was. But he,
the you
know,
younger he, one,
the one with longer hair, of the two henchmen.
Okay,
he's not, but he reminds me a bit of Victor Wong, who played Egg Shen. He looks like he's like a taller, younger version of Victor Wong. And maybe it's also the kind of crazy hair. Probably helps that.
Yeah.
But you can tell they were good stuntmen that they had for those roles, mm-hmm. Which again is an improvement over some of the previous episodes we've seen where some of the henchmen, some of the mooks that they have aren't great stuntmen. And so the fight doesn't feel very good. This one definitely didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Like it was a well choreographed fight.
Yeah. They fight good. They don't think too well. Like,
no.
Jimmy's around the corner and you just see the hand waving. It's like,
oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make movies? You're going to spend the rest of your life hiding in this garden?
He loved this garden.
I know. He still does.
Yeah, overall, I mean, it's a pretty solid episode. It's definitely mm-hmm. So much better to get Dustin Nguyen back and have him be in a much better episode than The Road Not Taken.
Yeah.
I really wish that they hadn't killed off Grandfather Lau and let him be just sort of a recurring character. He could have been like not quite a Darius, because he's obviously not an immortal, but just somebody that Duncan could go to for advice and to talk.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I don't know why I didn't, but for whatever reason they didn't. They just killed him off. So
yeah,
we don't get that.
I mean, we do get the fun moments between them. We get I love the, maybe I'll come back as a carp. And he's like, oh, Duncan, maybe not eat fish for a while.
Right.
Which was funny.
That was good, too.
You know, it's not the most memorable episode, but it's good. And it's good to see a solid episode without an immortal.
Mm-hmm.
We also get no mention of the Watchers in this one. So this feels...
Yeah, not at all.
This feels like one of the scripts that it's obviously more of a filler episode, but it doesn't feel like a straight filler episode, but it feels like one that got written without the Watchers in mind. So they were just like, we're just not going to mention it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those where if you're thinking about the way things are made and, you know, seeing this kind of thing, you know, this is one of the episodes they were like, okay, how can we save budget on this? We got to get rid of Richie. We got to get rid of Joe.
Yep.
We can do Charlie and a couple guests and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they really did it really well with this one.
Yes.
For sure.
Not absolutely. The best,
definitely very strong. And you know, that's the mark of a good show, that they can take a limitation of, let's not have these regular characters. Let's just throw in a couple guest stars and it still be really good quality show.
Mm-hmm.
Good quality episode.
Yeah. And I did like the way it ended, even though I agree with you that Charlie should have been there. And I think that would have given nice resolution to that character. The moment that nice little moment with Jimmy and Duncan where, you know, Jimmy's like, oh, Lau loved this garden. And Duncan's just like, you know, he still does. That was a cool moment. And the only thing was the start of a beautiful friendship line. I know that was just the whole movies, you know, we're going to throw a line from a movie there, and it's corny as all hell,
uh-huh.
but it would have been kind of cool if Jimmy's would pop up every once in a while, you know,
mm-hmm.
write some more episodes that deal either that deal with kind of the Chinatown area of town or just Jimmy in general.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been cool, but
yeah,
sadly he's never spoken of again.
Yeah. Just like so many. There were so many weird things to this episode too that got me, like at the beginning when they're like, somebody died. That doesn't shut down production at all. Like they're arguing about it. Like, we shut it down. So, like,
I know.
Look, I know it's the '90s, but they would have shut down production.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, crazy.
Well, so what's a little kind of freaky about that is this was made in 1993. This wouldn't have been very far off from Brandon Lee and The Crow.
Ooh, yeah.
And Brandon Lee dying. Bang. While filming The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little freaky to think about. That was a little strange.
We talked about when Grandfather Lau got shot. All those kids are there. And they're just like, oh, somebody got shot. I was like,
That was crazy.
Traumatizing to a bunch of kids.
Yeah, oh, that was so, like, what would have been, I would not have written it that way. Like, I would have written it somehow where Jimmy got up and separated himself from the group of kids, right? And the kids dispersed and they went off. They never went anywhere. They're just, like, standing 15 feet away from him. And this dude just walks in broad daylight, pulls a pistol, and starts firing randomly towards Jimmy.
Right. It's
through the kids. Like that was, oof. The way that scene would be done very differently today, but it's not the first. I think the difference between that and, the scene with Kyler, where Kyler talks about, how he would kill all the kids in the way, that works because we're setting up how evil this man is. And he's threatening to do that. This was just some random dude that's part of the gang starts shooting towards kids.
Right. And I think the way that they handled the kids made it seem a little cartoonish and not as threatening. Like if I was directing this, I would have had the kids scatter. Like that's just it. They run everywhere. They're not there. They're not sitting there like, oh, Grandfather Lau, you okay?
No.
Okay. I know that guy shot you.
Yeah. No, they are.
Poor guy.
They are on their way home to change their shorts. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely traumatized.
And then just that fight at the end when Jimmy's in the coffin, going back and forth to the furnace, and they're like, hit it, hit the button. He's not going in. Hit the button. He's going in. Hit the button. He's not going in. Like, all right, we're having a little fun here, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that, and then he manages to punch his way through the casket and open it and get out before Johnny can grab the gun that's a foot away from him on the floor.
Right.
That was a little silly.
And if you were paying attention, you could see the saw marks in the top of that casket where he punched through the wood.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. You could see where they scored it. But
that was okay. That's nitpicky for an episode like this.
Yeah. But then you can flip it around and talk about the scene between Duncan and Johnny in his office is great. Like, where he's doing the whole Russian roulette thing of a single bullet in there. And Duncan is supremely confident the entire time, but he has to play like he's worried. He's got to give the impression that he's scared at least a little bit.
That he's mortal.
Yeah. Plus it was great when he picks up the vase.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is fake. That was a fun little moment.
How would you know? And just the other thing I liked is the fact that what was the bad guy's name?
Johnny Long.
He knows it's a fake.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he's okay with that. And I could just imagine the henchman sitting there like,
what?
Like the number of times he's told me to be careful around that authentic vase and all of a sudden, like, yeah, I know it's fake. Whatever. And they're like, really?
Yeah, that was good. I almost feel like we needed more, either less with Johnny and Duncan and less with Grandfather Lau and Duncan and give more time to Jimmy for his character, or less Jimmy and more of Duncan figuring out what's going on between, you know, have the Tong bothering the temple instead, and give Jimmy his own, I don't know, or like kind of like what we talked about with The Road Not Taken, split it, have it be multiple episodes.
Or just get rid of Producer Lady and just not even bother with that storyline hardly at all.
Like
just,
yeah, that could have gone.
Just kind of push it back to the side.
Because that wasn't, it was just it's not like needed.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to set something up, but never went anywhere with it. It was just to have somebody for Jimmy to yell at besides Duncan and Charlie. And like,
well, and it was somebody for Jimmy to yell at and I guess, one scene of maybe some romantic tension with Duncan.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to set up a romantic interest for him every week, and they don't need that.
So, they don't. Leave it alone. Leave the man alone.
I know. Let him grieve for Tessa in his own way.
Right. Even if it's with Amanda for an episode.
Sure. Whatever. That's fine. They've got history. So yeah, that was Revenge of the Sword, which by the way, the title is the title of the movie that they're making during the episode. That's the only reason for that title. And if you aren't paying attention, you could easily miss the movie's called Revenge of the Sword and then be like, why is this even called Revenge of the Sword? Doesn't make any sense, but
sounded cool. One little passerby shot as they're going into the studio when they come to it and it's all busted up. It's like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Next week's episode is actually pretty good. It's called Run for Your Life. And I remember it being one that I kind of liked. So I'm looking forward to this.
Nice. And
so we'll talk more about that one next week. Until then. So we do record live. We live stream the recording. And if you want to come hang out in the chat room with us while we do that, you can at twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Right now we're doing those Tuesday nights around 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep.
And this show comes out every week on Thursdays, wherever you get podcasts. If you do enjoy the show, both Audie and I would really love it if you can give us a review. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. That helps the show become more discoverable. It's a great way to it's a great way to support the show, too. So, until next week's episode, run for your life. Just remember that there can be only one. I can't.
There can be only one more time to see Justin Lin.
There we go.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.